We're ready to start the Mishnah Ritz Hashem on Kuf Mem Hei Omid Beis, about 10 lines down from the bottom. And we're dealing with heating up and softening food by using water that's hot. Kol haba, kol sheba b'chamin, me'erev Shabbos. So you had foodstuff that was cooked on Erev Shabbos, and now it got cold. Yishorin oso b'mayim chamim b'Shabbos. You're allowed to soak these cooked foods in hot water on Shabbos to further soften them. And that's not called bishul. And this Mishnah is codifying the principle of ein bishul achar bishul. We have machlokes amongst the Rishonim about what kind of chamin we're talking about. According to many Rishonim, Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Ran, you're allowed to do Shriya on Shabbos, even in a Kli Rishon. And the Ran adds that it shouldn't be a Kli Rishon Ha'omed Al Gabi Ha'esh, because even though the original Tavshil on Erev Shabbos was completely cooked, and even if it's Mitztanim V'ralo, you're not allowed to put it on the fire, and a Kli Rishon Al Gabi Eish is like putting it on the fire. Now, the Mishnah Brura in his Sharat Tzion Simon Shin Yud Ches explains that we're afraid for those who are machmirim and say that Al Gabi Eish Yesh Bishal Achar Bishal, or alternatively, we have a chashash of what's called chazara, something that was taken off the fire. You're not allowed to put it back onto the fire on Shabbos, unless it's a grufa and a ketuma. And now, we have another machlokas Rishonim, whether or not the klal of ein bishul achar bishul applies only to solids, which is called yavesh, or does it also apply to lach, which are liquids. So once something was boiled, let's say water, there's no bishul according to the Torah law, at least if you cook it again, if you boil it a second time. However, the Rush and the Tur following his father hold that only in Yavesh do we say in Bichlash Bishul, but in Lach we say Yesh Bishach, because the Rambam, the Rashba, and others, the Ran probably, would say that Dover Yavesh, Dover Lavesh, Afin, even Dover Lach, if is Ein Bishlach or Bishl Shulchan Aruch, actually Paskins, that if you have a Dover Lach that was cooked, that was boiled, and then it got cold, to the point to which it's below Yad So Lettuce Bow, Yesh Bishlach or Bishl. The Rama himself brings that there are those Poskim who say that even in Lach we hold Ein Bishlach or Bishl, and he's willing to be mekil in a case where the Dover Lach didn't completely cool off. There's still some heat or warmth that's left from the original Bishul, and we're going to say Ein Bishlach Bishul even Balach. The Mishnah continues, V'chol Shaloba B'chamin, if you have food that was not cooked on Erev Shabbos, like for example you have, let's say, meat that's dry, and maybe, you know, you could eat it raw, b'shas hadchak, but it's not mevushal, is then, medichin oso b'chamin b'shabbos. What we're allowed to do is not to soak the meat in hot water on Shabbos, but we're allowed to do what's called iri kli rishon. We can pour hot water onto the meat. But there are exceptions to that rule, as the Mishnah enumerates, chutz min amaliach hayoshan v'kuyos ha'ispinin. And we're talking about a salted fish, and perhaps it was salted over the course of a full year, and we're talking about another kind of salted fish, maybe a mackerel. In these cases, even though he did Hadocha b'Shabbos and not Bishul, that's us. Even Hadocha is us. So again, in the case of uncooked meat, hadocha bechamin is mutar on Shabbos. But in the case of what's called kali abishol, these types of fish that easily cook, then even hadocha, to pour hot water on top of these fish, is prohibited. Because this hadocha is going to be metakinit l'achila. It's like bishol, and the Mishnah formulates the principle, hadocha son zuhi gmar malachton. Fine. Now, I'm not sure if we're ready for this yet, but there's going to be a machlokas. We've shown him about Makabe Patish here. I think we'll hold off on that. And then we're going to have an issue here about, this is a machlok shim rabbi Netam the Rashbam, about what's called the Irui Kli Rishon. The Rashbam holds that Irui Maim Chamim Kli Rishon has the din of Shriya. It's like a Kli Sheni. And when the Mishnah prohibits Shriya, according to the Rashbam, is that's a machal shelo espashel be'erev Shabbos b'kli rishon, that's going to be mutter in iri kli rishon, because iri kli rishon, according to the Rashbam, is like kli sheni. So that hadocha, when it's asur, is iri kli rishon is mutter, because then it has the status of kli sheni. Rabbi Netam disagrees. He holds that iri kli rishon has the same din as shriya b'kli rishon, and therefore the Mishnah says that you're allowed to do adocha in the case of basar, then it's being mater iri kli rishon. I'm sorry, I meant to say iri kli sheni. Whereas iri kli rishon has the din of a kli rishon, so that's not going to give you a heter in the case of meat. The Gemara says kigon mai, when it says kol abba bechamin the erev Shabbos shorin also bechamin Shabbos. What's the example of foodstuff that was cooked on erev Shabbos and we soak it in hot water in order to continue softening it on Shabbos? Omer of Safra kigon tarnagola de Rabbi Abba. He would be mevashel. He would cook this chicken, and he would soak it in hot water for a long time until it would be almost dissolved. And apparently this had therapeutic value. He would get it to the state of nimoach, where it was completely dissolved, and he would drink it almost like a liquid. And this example that the Gemara quotes from Tarnagoloso Shel Rabbi Abba is a Dover Mavushal, and there's no Iser to continue the process of Shriya and Shabbos Bechamin, even though it adds by softening and being Gomer Malachto. And that's the Iker Chiddush V'Mishnah. Tosus, on the other hand, back in Perek Kira, write that from the fact that Gemara brings this story of the Tarnagolas of Rabbi Abba as an example for our Mishnah, we should derive the conclusion that the Mishnah is talking about a case of a tavshil that was completely cooked, called sarko, may erev Shabbos. The Omer of Safra, regarding the Tarnagolas of Rabbi Abba, Zimnin Chada Iklayis Lahos, and one time I visited the house of Rabbi Abba, the Ochlon Mine, I ate from this this chicken that was soaking for who knows how many hours in hot water. V'ilo Rabbi Abba the Ashkian Chamra Bar Tlosa Tarfe it. If it wasn't for the fact that Rabbi Abba gave me wine to drink, it was vintage wine, 3 years old wine, then I would have had to regurgitate this chicken that he gave me to eat. It was so mos. So somehow the wine probably a very strong wine that was 3 years old, was so powerful that it was it enabled me to keep down the food, and I didn't vomit it up, even though it was so absolutely repulsive. Anyway, Rabbi Yochanan Royik Mikutach de Bavloi. Now, Rabbi Yochanan was from Eretz Yisrael. He would spit just by remembering the flavor of something called Babylonian kutach. Now, kutach, as you know, is a certain kind of a dip, and it's made with vinegar and breadcrumbs and other ingredients. And apparently, in Bavel, they made it very strong. It was very smelly. It was like really from really. It was Mo's, and just remembering it makes me want to regurgitate. Omer Rav Yosef, Lirok Anan, I would regurgitate from Tarnagola to Bei Rabbi Abba. The Ode, and it's not really true what we assume based on Rabbi Yochanan that the Bnei Eretz Yisrael was so disgusted and repulsed by the Kutach HaBavli, because Omer Rav Gaza, Zimnin Chada Iklois LaHosam, one time I was in Eretz Yisrael, the Avdis Kutach de Bavloi, and I was part of the team in the kitchen that was preparing this Kutach HaBavli, She'ilu Minei Kol Briche Marov, and all the people in Eretz Yisrael desired to eat of it. So let's not put this Kutach HaBavli in such a bad light, because nobody in Eretz Yisrael really found it unpalpable. It's just Rabbi Yochanan, and maybe he was an Istanist, I don't know. The Gemara now wants to know, if a person went ahead and he got these Kali Abishol, that Daga Ispinin, etc., and he was Mediach, he violated the Isra by soaking them in Mayim Chamim. What's the status after he's violated this Isra? Kol Shalom Baba Chamim, Erev Shabbos, Mendichon Osob Shabbos, Kutzmi, Kulias Ispinin, Shafilu Ladicho, Osol Fishu Gmar Malachas, Pisha, Hidiach Mai. He violated this Isra with Dag. Hakulias ha'ispinin, kulias ha'ispinin, and he soaked it in hot water. What do you do with the fish? Omar, Rav Yosef, hidiach chayv chatos, which we mean that he's violated meleches pishul d'oraisa, and there's no way, no how you can allow him to eat this. Omar, ma breid rafina fanana mitini. I also have a mishnah chutz mi meliach yoshem v'kulias ha'ispinin shadachosin is zoi gmar malachton. Shmamino Gmar Malachta means it's Meleches Bishul. And therefore the Hadocha generates a Chiv Chatas. And now the Gemara is going to go into a whole dialogue here between Amoroim on a certain Agadita. And in the Agadita it's going to mention Kulias HaIspinin. So we're going to start with Yosef Rabbi Chia Bar Abba v'Rav Asi Kamed Rav Yochanan Yosef Rav Yochanan v'Kohen Namne. So that these two great Chachom were sitting at the feet of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan was dozing off. Amale Rav Chia Bar Abba l'Rav Asi. So one scholar says to the other, Mipnei Ma Ofos Shebebavol Shmeinim, why the Babylonian birds are fatter and thicker than those in Eretz Yisrael. Amalei Rav Asi responded, Kalech lemidbar Aza v'areich shmeinim mihem. If you go to the Gaza desert, which apparently is located in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, I'll show you birds that are even fatter than the birds of Bavel. Now Rav Chia asks, Mipnei ma Moadim Shebebovel Smechem. Why is it that, you know, in Eretz Yisrael, the Moadim are like a dud, you know, compared to the joyous celebrations in Bavel? though the Jews of Babylonia in general, it seems, are more joyful in, on festivals than the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, Rashi says. Mipnei Shehein Aniyim. And they go through this poverty in Babel, and now they wait to rejoice on a Yontif, and they derive tremendous joy on Yontif. They're not involved in labor. They eat the best foods that they possibly can. They're poor. Imagine, this is one situation in history where the Israelis are richer than the Chutznikim. That's rare. Why is it that the scholars in Eretz Yisrael are excellent? Now here, the mitzuyonim, the excellence here, have to do with the way they wore clothing. There was special clothing that were worn by the scholars in Bavel, where apparently in Eretz Yisrael, the scholars of Eretz Yisrael did not wear the special adorned, beautiful clothing. And Rav Asi answers, Mipnei She'eino B'nei Torah. In other words, the Babylonians have to pump themselves up, so to speak. They're not on the same level of scholarship as those in Eretz Yisrael, and you know, they have to wear the fancy begodim and the beautiful kapotas in order to get some respect, because they don't really. So in the case of the Talmidei Chacham Eretz Yisrael, they're so great and so genuine, they're respected for their Torah. In Bavel, however, they're on a lesser caliber, and to make up the difference, they have to dress in an important way so that people show honor to them. You know, it reminds me of the Gemara about in Marcus, I think, about the Rava said about the Bavloi Tipshoi, you know, that they'll stand up for a Sefer Torah, but not for a Talmud Chacham. So, you know, the people in Bavel didn't honor their Talmidei Chachamim, and maybe because the Talmidei Chachamim in Bavel weren't on such a great level. Again, this is mind-boggling when you think about Eretz Yisrael back in the day of the Talmud, that they were such great scholars. They didn't have to impress anybody with their beautiful adorned clothing. And now the last question that Rav Chiya bar Abba asks, Mipnei ma ovdei kochav mizohamim. It's hard to understand what he means by mizohamim, but maybe they don't have that spiritual sensitivity to Kedusha, to sanctity, that the Jews have. And you and I may have said, because this is the choice of the Jewish people, but the Gemara is looking for some sort of negative element amongst the idol worshippers. Mibnesha Oklin Shkotzim Viramasim, which literally means they eat these crawling creatures. And you know, today in the East, they, you know, my wife and I were there, they eat everything. I mean, it's hard to believe what they eat. You know, the Torah itself gives a list of non-kosher fish, and you can include seals and frogs and birds and insects, flies, bees, mosquitoes, reptiles, rodents. I mean, this, again, you know, just to read the list and think about eating them, these crawling creatures. And even when it comes to a carcass, you know, of an animal, Jews don't eat that. We don't do that thing. So Rav Chiya bar Abba attributes the spiritual impurity of the idol worshippers to their consumption of these various creatures. Maybe they eat bats. I don't know. But regarding the impurity engendered to Jews in this case of foods, we have to look at the Gemara in Chulin about Macholos Asurus Metamtamos Es Halev. That's the Torah very often used the word Tumah, Tameim Heim Lachem, to describe these creatures. In the meantime, Itar Bahu Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan awoke, and I guess he was half asleep, but he heard at least part of their discussion. Omar Lahu, he said to them, Dardaki, he calls them children. And I So Dardiki means Bachurim Shalolam Du Lomar Svaganachuna Lokach Amarti Lachem. Didn't you learn from me that the Pasuk in Mishlei Emor Lachochma Chosi At comes to teach us, say to wisdom, you are my sister, that Im Barur Lecha Hadavar, if you have clarity in the matter, Ke Achoscha Shiyasura Lecha, just like you know beyond the shadow of a doubt your sister is forbidden to you, then Omrehu, then make that statement. But Im Lav Lo Tomro, in other words, don't speak about matters and you're not clear, and yet you're not clear at all. Omule, Ravasi and Rav Yechiya said, Velemelan Mar Ezman, what did we say? What response did we give that you think we made a mistake? For example, we asked, Mifnei Ma Ofos Shebabavel Shmenim. And the answer to that question is, says Rabbi Yochanan, is Mifnei Shalo Golu. Shalo Golu Misha. Okay. Unlike the birds of Eretz Yisrael, they were not exiled. So they never lost their fatness. Shenemar, as Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, Shanan Moav Mina Urov. Moav has been tranquil from its youth. Vishoketu El Shmarov. And it rests quiet upon its lees. Lo hurak mi kli al kli uvagola lo holach, and into the exile it didn't go. Al kain omad tamo, therefore its flavor has remained. Verechol lo nomar, and its aroma has not been changed. In other words, the equation is between Moav and a bottle of wine that was never moved from its place. The lees of such wine settled to the bottom. The taste of the aroma of the wine are preserved. Likewise did this nation at that time, not yet exiled, retain its original strength. Tisanya, we learned in Ebraisa, by Vahocha Minolan de Golut, and here in Etzel, how do we know the Ophos went into Golus? The Sanya we learned in the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chamishim Ushtaim Shona Lo Ovar Ish B'Yehuda. So for 52 years of exile, no man passed through Yehuda. These were the 52 years that passed from the Golus at the time of Tzidkiyahu HaMelech until Cyrus, king of Persia, gave the Jews permission to return and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. At that point, some of those who were exiled returned. They began work on the second Beis HaMikdash, which was completed 18 years later in the second year of the reign of Darius, 70 years after the beginning of the exile. And this calculation is given in Masechta Megillah. It's a long presentation, complicated presentation in Megillah Daf Yud Aleph. Al Heharim Esa Bechi Venehi Me Ofa Shemai Ve'ad Behema Nodru Holchu. Upon the destruction of the hills, I will raise up weeping and wailing from the bird of the heavens until the beast. All have wandered and gone. Okay. Now, Behema Begratria Chamishim V'Taratin Hava. Let's try to figure out why he adds this gematria here. Apparently, the gematria of Behema is an allusion to the fact that Eretz Yisrael will be abandoned for 52 years. Okay, fine. So we end up with 52, and the last exile would be Viad Behema. Right? Me'ofa Shemaim Viad Behema, And the Vi'ad Behema tells me until Behema, meaning until the passage of 52 years. Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kulan, all the creatures that went into exile, into Bavel, Chazru, Eretz Yisrael, they went back to Eretz Yisrael. Chutz Mikulyos HaIspanin, the Spanish mackerel that we spoke about, did not return to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, so until the Behema, Ada Behema, that's going to teach me that the exile would only last 52 years, and afterwards the animals, birds, and the fish would return. But the Spanish mackerel remained in Golos, which the Gemara will now explain why. The Omar Rav said that Hani Midre de Bavel, which is Minatahom Shebe Bavel, from the slopes of Bavel, Mahadri Mayali Ein Eitan, waters will return to Ein Eitam, which is a spring at the ridge of the border between the Shvatim of Yehuda and Binyamin, close to the Arabayis. This spring marks the highest point in Eretz Yisrael, and it supplied water to the mikveh that was used by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. The mikveh was installed on the wall of the temple courtyard above the water gate. And this was by means of a pipe. So the water runs down the slopes of Bavel, flow into the Euphrates River, from there flows to Ein Eitam, and to other springs in Eretz Yisrael. And this is by means of underground channels and streams that lead from the Euphrates to Eretz Yisrael. The exiled fish returned by means of those underground channels. And those channels are called Madronot or Mechilot. So they would go through these Madronot and Mechilot, very narrow. They would come to a Mayan which is called Ein Eitam. So the fish that went into exile into Bavel, Oluim Amayim, they came back to Eretz Yisrael. Vahai, but Kulias HaIspin, and came into Lo Shorir Shidre, it's Shidra, its spine is not strong enough, Lomotzi Solok. It didn't have the ability to come back, and its bone, its backbone was not firm enough to swim this route and ascend Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. Means from a low elevation, that's Bavel, to a high elevation of Eretz Yisrael. Now the Gemara goes back to the answers of Rabbi Yochanan to other questions. Why do the celebrations in Bavel, the joy is greater and more intense than it is in Eretz Yisrael? There was a klol on Eretz Yisrael which was not imposed upon Bavel. The Chsivba, Pasuk in Hosea, Vishbati ba kol misosa, and I shall end all her joy, all her festivals. Chaga, chadasha, v'shabata v'chol bo'ada, her new months, her shabbosim, and her mo'adim. Uksiv, and now we have a pasuk not in Hosea but in Yeshaya, Chodshechem O'adechem Sona Nafshi Hoyo Olai L'Torach, your new months and your holidays my soul hates, they have become a burden to me. And what Yeshaya is trying to say, he's addressing the Eretz Yisrael, the Kiyidin, and he's telling them that their joy and festivals will be lessened. However, this curse did not apply to the Babylonian Jews, they didn't suffer from this curse. My, what does the pasuk mean? Hayu alai l'torach. The Gemara answers: Amar Rav Lazar, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo dayin li Yisrael shechotim lefanai el shematrichen otsi leida ezo gzera kasha vialeh. This is a very perplexing esoteric Gemara, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares it's not enough that they sin, but on top of that they put a burden on me because I have to figure out which harsh decree I should bring upon them. And maybe the statement of Rabbi Lazar that the rejoicing of Bavel during the festivals is related, somehow connected to this statement as well. Om Rav Yitzchak, Ein Lecha Kol Regel VeRegel Shelo Bas Boleshes. Every festival during which a Boleshes is a troop, Chel HaMelech, Litzipori, and the Chel HaMelech comes to plunder Tzipori, the Om Rav Chanina, Ein lecha kol regel v'regel shelo bolet veria agmon v'katmon u'bal zmora. Every festival, they come to Tveria. Now, who comes? We're talking about a governor. Now, we're talking about a ruler. We're talking about an official. They came to Tveria in order to impose taxes. So the Agmon is going to be the governor. The Kamton is going to be a ruler. And Baal Zmor is going to be the official. Some sort of Roman elector who customary goes in public with a garland before him. That's why he's called Baal Zmora. Masters of the garland. Pekidei HaShulton, Sheboim, Livzos, they're coming to plunder, Lahatil Ol, to impose taxes. All of this is because of the curse that the Navi had spoken about. Now, I'm not sure why they're coming and descending specifically on Tzipori and on Tveria. Mipnei Ma, Talmidei Chacham Shebebol Mitzuyonim. Why do they wear fancy clothes? Not because they're not genuine, they have to beef themselves up. But rather, says Rabbi Yochanan, Lefisha Einom B'nei Mekoman. They're not really at home. They went to Golis, to Bavel. Their real place is in Eretz Yisrael. Now, a person goes to another makom, zar, some sort of strange place, and he's a gola, then he needs kavod, he needs in golas that the local people should respect him, and therefore he wears fancy clothing. The Amri Inchi, people say, b'masa shamai, b'lo masa tosvai, which means that, if we can translate this, he says, in my own city, my name is enough. In a city which is not my own, I must rely on my clothing. So in a strange city, a person has to distinguish himself with his dress in order to be accorded honor. The Babylonians therefore adorn themselves with beautiful clothing. Gemara brings a proof to Rabbi Yochanan that the people in Bavel, the Bnei Bavel, were Bnei Torah, not the way the other students had accused them. But anyway, it says in Yeshayahu Novi, Aboyim Yashresh Yaakov, those of Jacob who come will take root. Yatzitzu Parach Yaakov, Yisrael, they will bud and shall blossom, O Israel. And this is a verse in which those of Yaakov who come to Bavel will make buds and blossoms for the Torah by expounding the Torah, interpreting its verses, deriving novel teachings. Elu talmidei chacham shebe Bavel shosim tzitzin uprachim la Torah, they make buds and blossoms for the Torah. So we see that the scholars, the Talmidei Chacham of Bavel, were indeed great in Torah, and therefore the reason they adorn themselves is not because they want to make up for the fact that they're not B'nai Torah, they're not great in Torah, but rather they find themselves in a strange place, as we said before. Mipnei ma ovdei kochav mizuhamim shelo amdu al har Sinai. Intuitively, that's what we wanted to say, that they don't have that spiritual sensitivity, that sanctity, because they weren't given the mitzvahs of the Torah at Har Sinai. Shebashash ba nachash al chava. And in the past, we've discussed this profile of a serpent that has sexual desires. And somehow he was able to seduce Chava and Hitil Bazuma. Again, this is a very esoteric, Kabbalistic concepts of Zuma, but basically it means that he cast impurity into her, and then this became passed on through future generations. But B'nai Yisrael Shamdu Arsinai Paska Zumasa. So for that one glorious moment in Jewish history when the people of Israel stood at Har Sinai and they accepted the Torah, their zuama, their impurity, was removed. They went back to an original pure state of uncontaminated and free of impurity. But the goyim who worshipped the idols, they weren't at Har Sinai, their impurity was never removed, and it persists to this very day. What do we do with converts? Shalom Amdul Har Sinai Mai. And how do we apply Paska Zuamasa to Gerim? Must be the process of Gerim itself removes the Zuama. Omalei Rav Ashi responds, Afal Gav de Inulo Havi. Maybe they weren't at Har Sinai, but Mazalayu Hava. Their mazel was there. And how do I know this? The Ksiv, Es Asher Yishno Po Imanu Ayom, Omed Ayom, Lefnei Hashem Elokein, Ves Asher Einenu Po. So the mazel of the Gerim, which has to do with their ruach, some sort of spirit, was at Har Sinai. It's a kind of a neshama, maybe on a slightly lower level. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk here, Nidmeli, if I'm not mistaken, is a pasuk in Parshas Nitzavim. You could open it up to Dvarim Chavtes. And that pasuk is going to teach us that even the Gerim were, the future Gerim were at Mamad Har Sinai. That's when he very metaphysical, and he quotes here an explanation of the Marsha when the Gemara says Gerim Mai. The implication is that at Mavid Har Sinai, all the future Doros, the generations of Israel, were at Har Sinai. Dorosh Hasidim Lava. And even though the Gufos weren't there, but nevertheless the Shamos were there. Etzuros Bitzara Chaim. In the case of Gerim, it's hard to say that. So therefore, Eich Paska Zuamasa. You know, you could talk about future generations, but what about Gerim? And the answer is Mazolam HaYashom. Upliga de Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana. So we're now on the top of Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the Zuama of Chava from the Nachash HaKadmoni continued all the way up to Ma'amad Har Sinai, and up to Ma'amad Har Sinai, the Jews were also included in that situation. So that would include also Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Therefore, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana comes along to disagree with Rabbi Yochanan. He says, "The Omer Rabbi Abba, bar kahana ad shlosha doros lo paska zuamas zuama meavosenu. The zuama, the nachash, continued for three doros in the life of our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. During the life of Avram, holiness Yishmael, Yitzchak, holiness Esav, Yaakov, holiness Nemesar Shvatim, Vyaz Paska Nishmasam, Shlohoya Bahem Shum Dofi. There was no aberration. So as Rabbi Yochanan waits until the revelation at Har Sinai for Paska Zumas, for the impurity to be removed, according to Rabbi Abba, the impurity was removed already during the first three generations, that of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And in the case of Yaakov, there's no aberration. He's free from the contamination of the serpent. So Rabbi Abba holds that the Jews were freed from their impurity with the birth of Yaakov long before the revelation at Har Sinai. Now, it's not for us today, but we would have to investigate, if we had time for Iyun, whether or not the impurities and the Zuam of the Nochash were completely removed at the time of Yaakov Avinu, or was there still some sort of Shirayim of Zuama that would sort of surface during the time period, first and foremost, of the Shvatim, and then during the time of Golas Mitzrayim, until finally Har Sinai, and that's when we get to the ultimate of Gomar, of Paska Zuamasa. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah now on Kufmem Vavam and Aleph, Shover Adam Esachovis. Now we're going to discuss opening cans and things like that to get the food out. Shover Adam Esachovis. He's allowed to take a knife and maybe even a sword and chop open the barrel, lechol heimenu grogros, in order to get the figs out of the barrel. And it's only a mekalkel, so it's not asur, and for the sake of food we are going to permit it. Rashi seems to assume that breaking the chavis is called Melechas Soser, but the heter is because it's Mekalkel. The Ran objects to Rashi because he says, so what if it's Mekalkel? Mekalkel is potter from Achatos, but it's also in Rabbanon. And the Ran explains that perhaps what Rashi has in mind is that mit Rabbanon it's also if it's Shalol Litzarch Shabbos, but Litzarch Shabbos it's Mutter. And the truth is that there's really no Meleches Binyan or Stirin Kalim, according to Rashi Shita, so that Shviras Achavis is not even a Melech. So it's not exactly clear why Rashi has to invoke the principle of Mekalkel in this context. According to the Ran, it's not exactly clear why there should be an Isid Rabbanan breaking a Chavis if it's Shalolet Sarach Shabbos. This is not a Meleches Soser at all. So where's the Isid Rabbanan, even if it's Shalolitzar? So the Chazon Ish claims that according to the Rashi, when Rashi says Mekalka, what he really means is that breaking the Chavis is a Tzuras Melacha of Soser. It has the Tzuras of the Melacha. And therefore, if it wasn't Litzarch Shabbos for the Grogeres, then it would be also to break the Chavis. The Ran completely rejects Rashi, holds that the heter of Shviras HaChavis is not Mishum Mekalkel, but because we're talking about a Kli Katan, which doesn't hold 40 Sah, and in such a Kli, we apply the principle of Binyan Ustir V'Kelim, and therefore there's not even an Isid Rabbanan. Tosis also rejects Rashi. They hold that the heter is not because of Mekalkel, but because the Mishnah is talking about a Chavis Re'uah, and there's no Binyan Ustira in a Chavis Re'uah. So the Chavis itself is not a healthy Chavis in and of itself. So this is based on a sugin Beitz on Lamed Gimel, Machlok Shin Rabbi Lezer and Chachomim, about Kotem, Kisam, Lachtos Boashinam, Shinov. So he breaks off a little piece of wood to use it as a toothpick, that according to Rabbi Lezer, he's Chayiv Chatos because he made a kli, and the Chachomim say it's only Drabbanon, because if Eino Ose Zos Besakin El Kalachar Yad, he's not going to make it professional by cutting off and sharpening a piece of wood as a toothpick with a knife or any other kli. He's doing it with his hand. That's called a malacha of Asiyas Kli Kalachar Yad. And the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Eliezer, Yenalad Abi Kotem Eitzei Besomim, you can't cut off fragrant growing plants in order to smell them, because we're afraid that perhaps it'll be kotem lachzospo shinov, which is an iser drabbanon. Anyway, Tosis writes that lechora the Gemara Beitza, which said that the machlokus is in a case of mustaki, that's only according to Rabbi Lozar, who holds that you're not allowed to be kotem al menas la riach. But nevertheless, even the chachamim, they need mustaki, because when the chachom were matir kotem kedei la riach, it's because they hold that if he was kotem al menas lachzol shinov, they would not incur a chiyuv chatos. But if the Chacham would have conceded that there's an Isur Torah in the case of Ketima Almanas Lachzos Hashinov, they would also ask a Ketima Almanas L'Riach. And therefore, Shover Chavis, Kedei Lahotzi Menu Grogros, if he would break it B'Kavana to create a Chavis, or create a Pesach in the Chavis, a very good Pesach, he would indeed incur a Chiyuv Chatos. And therefore, we have to make a Gzeres, says Tosfos, not to allow him to break this, even if it's Litzorach Hotzos HaGrogos, because he might come to create a Pesach and have that Kavanah for Pesach Yofa. And that's why the Heter here is Mishum Mustaki. So we have to know more about this concept called Mustaki. That's a Gemara, as we said before, in Beitza. That's a chavis shenishbara vehidbik es shivrea v'sraf shal eitz. So we're talking about probably an earthenware barrel that already was broken in the past, and its pieces were connected together, and they used as an adhesion a gum from a tree, a sticky gum, which is called sraf shal eitz, and that's called ra'ua. So that even if he had kavanah to make a kli, there would be no isur Torah, and the Chacham did not make a gzera. So instead of mekalkel, which is Rashi shita, or kli katan she'ein bo arbasa, according to the Ran invoking the Pennsylvania binyan of Steve Kalim, according to Tosfos, we're talking about a chavis re'ua, and therefore there's no malacha doraisa, and that's called Mustaki in the Gemara in Beitza. So the Mishnah stipulates Ubilvad Shalo Yiskavin Lasos Kli, and that's very important that he not have Kavana to open up this Chavis in a way that he makes a Pesach Yofer, as we said before, a real permanent opening, because that would be Asiyas Kli. And again, according to Rashi, who holds Ein Stir Binyan V'Kelim, as we mentioned earlier, the Iser here is Makav Patish. Whereas according to other Rishonim, creating a Kli, Yesh Me'ayin, or creating a Pesach and a Kli might be Binyan Ustira, even V'Kelim. But for that we need something called Lahotzi U'Lahachnis. And here it's only Lahotzi, to get what's out, what's in out, and not to put something else in it. Ein nokvin, the Mishnah continues, megufa shel chavis. So we're talking about a barrel of wine, and we're not allowed to perforate this barrel or cask that has wine in it in order to get the yayin out through this opening that we're creating. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah, that's considered, meaning Megufas Achavis is considered Tikkun Pesach. Chachomer Matirin, this is not the way you make a Pesach to a Chavis, by breaking off its Megufa. And we're talking about a Megufa, which is some sort of plastered lid that you put onto the barrel. And the Chachamim say that if you make perforations and these nekavim in the magufa, that's an unusual way of opening a casket, and therefore it's not makabah patish. It's permissible on Shabbos, but under the condition that v'lo yikvena mitzida. And if we assume mitzida means from the side of the magufa, the Gemara is going to offer another possibility. It means the side of a chavis, and explain what exactly is the iser if he makes these holes on the side. Im haisa nekuva, if the chavis was perforated, lo yitein aleha shava, he should not close up the holes with wax to close the gaps, mipnei shehu mimareach, because this is a told of mimachik, and it's called mimareach. So to plug up the holes is smoothing it out, and when you make the wax fill in the hole, because you want to plug it into the hole, it's got to adhere to the cask, to the chavis, and he uses smooth wax, then mimarech means he's smoothing. Because in order to make the wax fill the hole, he's got to smoothen it. And that's one of the melachos of Shabbos. Mimarech in the Mishkan was actually done on the hides, on the oros. On Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa bo lefnei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Be'arav. So this story happened in a country called Arav, and it was an Adam Shesasam. He filled in the gap, plugged the gap. Nekev Shebechavis B'Shami Omar Choshashani Lo Michatos. Rabbi Yochanan declared that I think he might be Chayav Achatos because he smoothened out the wax on the sides of the Chavis in order to be Madviket, to make sure that it would adhere. And he violates Melechas Memachik. And that leads us to the Gemara here, which is approximately 15-20 lines down from the top of Kuf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, which will continue its Hashem in the next year.